I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank God for technology, even though imperfect, that still allows us to meet. I'm reminded of our sharing by our brother James in Africa, that even during the midst of this pandemic, they do not have such means. They are unable to meet for their worship services through Zoom. And church members, they do not have access to the internet, and so they are unable to stream any form of worship services. We continue to pray for them, and the Lord will provide for them. And you know, thank God that recently we heard how they are able to meet already in person. And what they can only do is that they will try to follow up with the church members individually, where along the week, you know, the pastors will have to call and minister to God's people personally. So we thank God for how God is merciful to us to still provide these means for us to meditate upon God's word together and also to seek Him in worship together. And this morning we want to meditate on this theme, "Lovest thou me more than this?" When the Lord Jesus Christ asked this question to Peter, how do you think the Lord Jesus Christ asked this question? What was his tone? You can read this question in several ways. This can be with the tone of rebuke. Lovest thou me more than this? Peter, do you love me? If you love me, why did you deny me? Why did you forsake me? This could be how some may ask this question, or how some may perceive this question. Or this could be a question also of disappointment. Lovest thou me more than this? Why did you not love me? You know, sometimes when we ask questions, it is really, even though it takes the form of a question, we are really making a statement. We are saying that you did not love me. For example, you know, when we say, why are you late? When we ask a question like that, we don't really mean, why are you late? Please explain why you were late. We are actually making a statement. You should not be late. Now, there is also another form of questioning that we can sometimes take. But I believe that when the Lord Jesus Christ asked these questions to Peter, lovest thou me more than this? It is with love. It is with tenderness. It is in order to restore Peter unto service. Now, the context and the background of this is where the Lord Jesus Christ had already rose from the dead. This was after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And after his resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ remained on earth until the time of just prior to Pentecost. And why did the Lord Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, not immediately ascend into heaven? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ had various purposes for doing so, amongst which would be also to restore the disciples. We know that the Bible tells us that when the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested and when he was crucified on the cross, the disciples fled. All of them fled except Apostle John, who remained at the foot of the cross. But the rest of the disciples, they fled. And the Lord Jesus Christ had to appear to them on various occasions, sometimes to two disciples, on other occasions to the 11 of them together. But the Lord Jesus Christ had to appear to them in order to restore them. At this time, the Great Commission was not yet given. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was really encouraging the disciples, restoring the disciples unto their service. The Lord Jesus Christ had already called the disciples to be his disciples in the gospel. And the Lord Jesus Christ has sent them forth to their mission. But now they have failed in that sense, where they forsook the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure many of them may be wondering, are we still qualified to serve? Now we know over here that Apostle Peter was the one who actually took the lead to bring the people back fishing. If you read verse 3, having provided the context for us or the introduction for us in verses 1 and 2, the Bible tells us in verse 3 that Simon Peter was the one who initiated this. He says here, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. Now, Simon Peter was a natural leader, and he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps he felt so discouraged and he felt so downcast that he says that, what can I do? Maybe the Lord does not want me anymore. The Lord cannot use me anymore. I failed. I've disqualified myself. I denied my Lord. So what did he do? He went back to what he knew to do. He went back to fishing. Because he was trained as a fisherman. He had various ships in the past. He knew how to acquire these ships. He knew how to cast the net. And so he went back to what he was very familiar and what he was used to in the past. I go fishing. And the rest of the disciples also maybe thinking that they too, having fled when the soldiers came to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ, they could have felt, we are also not qualified to serve. We will go with you. And so this morning, even as we consider this passage, when the Lord Jesus Christ asked this question, it is really to restore the disciples in service, restore Peter, especially in service. Then as we meditate upon this question that the Lord Jesus Christ asked, we must reflect also upon our service. Regardless of how young or how senior you may be, have you been serving? Why have you not been serving as you ought? Why have you grown weary in serving? Why have you now been less fervent and zealous in serving? Could it be that one reason is maybe because of the disappointments that you have experienced? Disappointments not so much from others, but perhaps maybe even disappointment from yourself. Maybe because of certain pride that you have experienced and you have been brought so low. Now you feel so miserable, you feel that you have failed. And this is where the Lord encourages us in service. So this morning we want to see how the Lord restored Peter in service. And I pray that for us, as we think upon the questions that the Lord Jesus Christ asked here, we too will renew ourselves in service, knowing that the Lord has a calling and a purpose for each one of us. Now, the first thing that we see in this passage, before we even come to the questions, because the questions stand together with this whole narrative account that the Bible recorded for us from verse 1 all the way to verse 14. So the questions do not stand alone. The Lord Jesus Christ did not ask the questions out of the blue. There was a context behind it. And this context, which was this narrative account, is very important. Because in this narrative account, the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated various things. And I believe that what the Lord Jesus Christ showed here is very relevant to the questions that the Lord Jesus Christ will ask Peter. And what we see from verse 1 to verse 14 is really the Lord's provision of love. The Lord's provision in love. And what Christ is showing here to Peter and the disciples is that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, I will take care of you. I can provide for you. I will supply for all your needs. Now, how did the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrate and show this? Now, when you read this passage, usually we will see from verse 1 to 14 at least two miracles. And various commentators will usually describe two miracles that they would observe over here. First is the casting of the net on the right side of the ship. So the context here, the Bible tells us in verse 4, when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And the Bible tells us that the whole night they had been fishing, but they caught nothing. And then now the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to them, and seeing that they have caught nothing, the Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 6, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast thereof, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And many will regard this as the first miracle. Because they say that this would be a reminder of what the Bible described also in Luke chapter 5, and that was Peter's calling. If you go back to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, this was Peter's first experience with the Lord Jesus Christ when the Lord Jesus Christ called Peter. And the calling was in the same way. Peter had been fishing the whole night, and he caught nothing. And then the Lord told him to cast his net on the other side. And the Apostle Peter just simply obeyed. He says, "At thy word, Master, I will do so." And he cast his net on the other side, and then they caught these fishes. This is definitely a miracle. How is it that just by shifting the net from the left side, from casting on the left to the right, you just catch these fishes? This must surely be a miracle. And why did the Lord Jesus Christ perform this miracle? To renew the disciples' calling. It will immediately remind them of how the Lord called them in the first place. Where were they when the Lord called them? Now they went back fishing. But what the Lord was showing here is that the Lord can take care of them. The Lord can provide and supply all their needs. Now another thing that we see also over here is the number of fishes. And that is also the second miracle. In verse 11, Simon Peter went out and drew the net to the land, to land full of great fishes, and 153. And for all there were so many, yet was the net not broken. Now, here, this was where after having caught the fishes, when the disciples recognized that it was the Lord, Peter was very excited. And what he did was he immediately cast himself into the sea. In other words, he swam to the shore in order to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. But the rest of the disciples, they continued to bring the boat to the shore, bringing the fishes with them. And now this is another miracle, because the Bible says that the number of fishes that they caught was so many, 153, yet was the net not broken. Now as an experienced fisherman, Peter would know how many fishes the net would be able to contain. And he would know the limit and the extent of the weight that the net can bear. But yet the Bible tells us that despite catching so many, 153, he would know that this would be beyond what the net can usually bear. How is it able to bear so many fishes, and yet was the net not broken? Again, this is the Lord's provision. However, when you look at this passage, actually you see also a third miracle. So most will identify two, but in fact, you also see, if you read very carefully, a third miracle. And that is seen in how when Peter cast himself into the sea, and then when they brought the fishes and the boat to the shore, the Bible tells us in verse 9, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Now notice that this was before they brought the fishes back to the shore. And the Lord Jesus Christ had already prepared fishes and bread for the disciples. And then the Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples, "Come and dine." And no one had to ask him who thou was, because in verse 12 the Bible says that they already knew that it was the Lord. Now this means that even before the disciples brought the fishes to the shore, the Lord Jesus Christ already had fish and bread ready for them, providing for them. Now, why did the Lord Jesus Christ perform all these miracles? It was really a demonstration that the Lord can provide and take care of them. The Lord was saying, you know, when he prepared fish and bread for them, "I don't need your fishes." Right? Before they brought the fishes to the shore, the Lord says, "I already have these things prepared for you. I wanted you to cast your net into the sea, not because I have need of these things. I can provide for you. I can supply this for you. But I'm doing this to restore your calling. I'm doing this to show you that I'm the Lord." And here, the Lord says, "I can take care of you." And when the Lord also performed the miracle of how the net was not broken, the Lord was saying, "I know how much you can bear. I will humble you. I will have to break you in order to use you, but I will not crush you. I will not destroy you. I have to allow you to go through this experience, Peter, so that you can be humble. You used to be very rash. You used to be proud even. But I have to humble you so that I can use you. And why I have to call you in the same manner is because I have to remind you. Remind you of the same calling with which you were first called. I wonder for how many of us have we slowed down or have we gone cold in our zeal and our service of the Lord after serving for various years in whatever ministry that you may be in. Maybe in the Sunday school ministry or maybe in the ministry of the church, maybe in the ministry of the young people. Maybe there was a time when you first started serving, when the Lord first called you and when you first answered that call, you were so excited. You were filled with energy and zeal. And you had this great desire to just you yourself, give of yourself, wholly, totally unto the Lord. But what happened? What happened in the process of service? You know, at times, it is very sad when you do hear of some who share how in the midst of service, they meet with various struggles, maybe struggles with people. They were disappointed by others, you know, discouraged by others, or sometimes they also struggle with themselves. They realize that they are not as mature as they thought they were. Maybe they see their own weaknesses, they see their own failings, and then through these experiences, they started to doubt, and they started to be disappointed, and they grow weary in service. And that's where we need to remind ourselves of why we serve in the first place, is because God has called us. How did the Lord call you? You know, when we enter the full-time ministry, and this truth does not apply really to those who are in the full-time ministry. It applies to every one of us, because I'm sure that every one of us, when we serve, have a call from God. But I remember that when we entered the full-time ministry, we were constantly reminded of how our call to the ministry is so important. How the Lord first called us, how the Lord first speak to us. Because that call is that which will carry us on through the rest of our ministries, whether it be 10 years later, 20 years later, 30 years later, if the Lord tarries and if the Lord will be willing. That first call is that which will remind us, encourage us, how the Lord convicted us to serve Him. And that must be the same constant reminder that you have. Why did you first answer the call to serve in the Sunday school ministry? Why did you first answer the call to serve as a deacon? Or why did you answer the call to be in this evangelism ministry or whatever ministry? Why did you answer that call? It was because the Lord spoke to you through His word, gave you a burden in your heart. And though you may have encountered many things along the way, always remember the Lord is the one who called. And as the Lord calls, know also that the Lord provides for you. I think as we grow older, we realize more and more that we have responsibilities to bear. You know, responsibilities of many areas and spheres of life. I think when you look at a youth serving, why the youth can be so dedicated in service is because he has responsibilities in school, he has responsibilities at home, he has responsibilities in service, but he has fewer spheres of responsibilities. Nevertheless, even some already do struggle, even just with these limited spheres of responsibilities. But that's how much the Lord knows they can bear. But as you grow older, I'm sure you have experienced how these spheres of responsibilities seem to grow. Now you take on more responsibilities, you have more on your plate. And sometimes it can feel very overwhelming. And the temptation is that, you know, when you are now entrusted with more, you wonder, can I bear all these things? But you must remember, there is the Lord who provides for you. Now, what is very encouraging over here was that Peter, even before he brought the fishes back to the shore. As the Lord told Peter to count the number of fishes, the Lord already provided for Peter. Come and dine. And that is how it is also when we serve the Lord. We serve the Lord knowing that the Lord will provide, that the Lord will take care. I wonder whether some of you, when you are serving, you will say, I will serve later. After I have taken care of various needs, needs of my family, needs of my parents, needs for myself. After I've taken care of these things, then I will serve. But you realize that if you want to give excuses to service, you can give excuses. At whatever phase of life, you can give excuses. There are some who, when they are younger, they say that, I do not have the experience yet required to serve. But then those who are more senior, they now say, I do not have the energy to serve. If I was younger, I would be more involved. You know, I would spend more time if I were younger. But now I'm no longer young. Let it be for the younger ones to serve. And then for the younger ones, they say, I do not have the experience. You know, I still make so many mistakes. I do not have that maturity like those who are senior. Let those who are more mature, let those who are older serve. Then if that were to happen, who is going to serve? But you must know, if the Lord calls you, the Lord will always provide for you. And the Lord knows how to use you the best. The Lord provides. The Lord restored Peter. The Lord provided what Peter need. And the Lord humbled Peter enough so that Peter will no longer depend on his own self-will and his own wisdom. And Peter will know that the Lord will take care of him. And that is why the net was not broken. The Lord knows how much we can bear. I wonder whether some of you, when you are serving, you are afraid that service may be too overwhelming. There are times when people may approach you to serve in various ministries, and the leaders of the church, knowing you and having prayed about it, they know that you are ready for this particular area of ministry. The Lord has shown you, and the Lord has also shown the leaders, that you have these spiritual gifts. You can serve in this area of ministry. But from time to time, what we do come across is where even when mature men and women recognize and see that you have this spiritual gift, you can serve. But that feeling of inadequacy is so overwhelming. And they say, I cannot. And then you withhold yourself from service. Say, let it be for someone else. I cannot. Even though you may know that you have this spiritual gift, even though the Lord has been prompting and calling you, but you still do not want to answer the call because you look ahead, you see and you anticipate, well, how difficult it will be, how challenging it will be. And sometimes it overwhelms you. But that's where you also must know, just as the fishes that Peter caught did not break the net, the Lord knows how much we can bear. When the Lord calls you, the Lord will sustain you, the Lord will hold you, the Lord will provide for you. Now this was what the Lord Jesus Christ did for Peter before he asked these questions. So even as we think of these questions, remember that these questions were asked where the Lord Jesus Christ, having shown Peter, I will take care of you, I will provide for you. You know, when we answer the Lord's call, this must always be the assurance and the confidence we have that the Lord will provide and take care of you. I do not know, is it because now we are more educated in that sense? You know, sometimes I wonder when you look at missionaries in the past, right? Great missionaries, when they answer the call, when you think of men like William Carey, David Livingston to Africa, or other missionaries like Hudson Taylor or Jim Elliot to Ecuador, when they answered this call, did they worry? Did they think about all these things when they went to the mission field? How is it that they can answer and go so readily and freely? Is it sometimes today because we are educated? Maybe you say that they are not as educated, but perhaps is it that we become too proud in our education? And then, you know, because we think so far ahead, we think, oh, what will it be like when we go, if we go to Africa or if we go to India to serve? What will it be like? Where are we going to stay? What are the troubles that we're going to encounter? You know, when I was serving in Africa, in East Africa, in Kenya, I realized that Singaporeans have a very different way of working. It is quite different from the Korean missionaries or even the American missionaries that I met. And I'm not saying that one is better than the other, but I think there's a bit of a danger in the way we like to work. Yeah, and I think that I'm not sure, you know, how you also work. But I realize that Singaporeans, we have this problem. We like to prepare and plan. Because I was in a mission society in Singapore before, in my previous church in Truth, and I had the opportunity, you know, to see how we work. Not that it's wrong in its way, it's a different style. I realize we like to plan a lot. You know, let's say when we have a burden, we see a particular need. Oh, you know, should we go into this area of ministry or into this area of service? We like to plan a lot first. We like to, you know, see, oh, how much it would be. We try to plan ahead 6 months, 1 year, 5 years. What would be the projected cost? What would be the projected issues that we may face? And then we think very far ahead. And then we plan. And then after we see, you know, let's discuss. And then maybe after we take 6 months or 1 year of planning, then we take some action. It's quite different from some of the other missionaries that I met, like some Korean missionaries, when they have a desire, they see the need, you know, some of the local needs over there. They would go, they would send people. I mean, of course, we may argue that there's a bit of prudence, right, when you think far ahead, you plan. And the Bible does not teach us that planning is wrong or planning is bad. You know, you plan because there's prudence. But sometimes we trust too much in our planning. And we plan, we over-plan things, and then we don't do anything. That is the problem with us. But I wonder, are you also like this when it comes to service? You try to calculate everything. You try to think and cover every angle. You know, cover every aspect. But we need to realize that we have no control. When the Lord calls, it is the Lord who provides. What remains for you is whether you answer that call. And this was what the Lord Jesus Christ first revealed to Peter when the Lord wanted to restore Peter's call. Don't worry. Trust that the Lord will provide. You have children to take care of. You have your family to take care of. But know that the Lord will provide. When you desire to serve the Lord, the Lord will take care of you. I'm sure all who have served, you can testify that when you serve the Lord willingly, readily, the Lord has always provided for you. You do not need to worry. And this is where now we see the questions which Peter had to answer, which the Lord Jesus Christ asked. And this is now what we see from verse 15 to 17. And say here that this is a declaration of love. There's a provision of love. There's now the declaration. But this declaration is really, on the one hand, yes, it was Peter who declared. But really, when the Lord Jesus Christ asked this question, it was also the Lord's restoring of Peter in love. Yes, Peter had to express his love. But this whole account really also shows us how the Lord loves Peter. And the Lord knows how to deal with Peter tenderly in order to restore him. And we see this wonderful restoring. Now here, how did the Lord Jesus Christ approach Peter? Now we know that when the Apostle Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ, he was so ashamed to even face the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that when the Lord Jesus Christ looked at Peter after the cock crow three times, Peter felt so ashamed in himself that he went out and he wept bitterly. And in each of these other occasions when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Peter, you realize that Peter did not bring up this subject of his own denial. Right? Each time, yes, the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with the doubt of Thomas. The Lord Jesus Christ appeared to the disciples, but nothing was mentioned of Peter's denial. I try to imagine how Peter must have felt, which could be why he went back fishing. He could have felt and wondered, will the Lord still want to use me? Am I still worthy of the Lord? But see how the Lord Jesus Christ restored Peter here. When the Lord Jesus Christ approached Peter, you notice that the Lord Jesus Christ did not ask Peter, why did you deny me? You also notice that the Lord Jesus Christ did not ask Peter, have you repented? Now, what are the works of repentance that you have shown? Do you know your mistake? Do you realize your mistake? Have you learned from your mistake? These were not the questions which Peter asked. But what the Lord Jesus Christ asked Peter. But what the Lord Jesus Christ asked was, lovest thou me more than this? And this was out of Christ's love and his tenderness in restoring Peter. The Lord knew Peter's heart. The Lord knew that Peter was already repentant. The Lord knew that Peter already saw his own failings. And now the Lord restored Peter. And here you see how the Lord knows how to deal with us. And the Lord deals with us in tenderness. Now, in the questions that the Lord Jesus Christ asked here, even though in the Bible, what we read in verse 15, when the Bible says here, the Lord Jesus Christ said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? And Peter answered, he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. Even though we see in the Bible when Peter answered, right, thou knowest that I love thee, and when we hear the question which the Lord Jesus Christ asked, lovest thou me more than this? Now we may think that these questions are the same. And because this question is repeated again the second time in verse 16, lovest thou me? And then Peter also answered, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And then it's repeated the third time, lovest thou me? And then Peter answered, thou knowest that I love thee. Now, even though it may seem that these questions are the same and the answers are the same, in fact, they are actually not the same questions. Now, why we say that? It's because there are actually different words for love in Greek. And over here, there is a play on these words that are used. And there's a deliberate change in the words that are used. Now, in the first question, when the Lord Jesus Christ asked Peter, lovest thou me more than this? The Lord Jesus Christ used the word agape. Now, the meaning of the word agape is an unconditional, self-sacrificial, all-giving love. That is the love with which God loves us. Now, in the Bible, agape is a word that is used to describe God's love for us. It's interesting that this word agape, in the Greek literature in those days, was not a common word, right? In secular Greek literature. So, in those days, you have writings of philosophers, writing of other scholars. And it's interesting that these secular works, they do not use this word agape frequently. And in the Bible deliberately used this love that is not so frequently used in secular writings to describe God's love. And it's very wonderful because God's love is an unconditional, self-sacrificial giving love. That is the love where the Bible says God so loved the world. This is divine love. And here, the Lord Jesus Christ asks Peter, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me with an unconditional, self-sacrificial, all-giving love? Would you love me unconditionally, in other words? Now, how did Peter answer the Lord Jesus Christ? When Peter said in verse 15, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He chose another word. He did not respond with the same love. He did not say, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you with an unconditional love. This word is the word from where we get brotherly love. Okay, phileo. It is a brotherly love. It is not a love as if it is not true love. I mean, it's still love, but it is a brotherly love. And not an unconditional love. And that's the difference. Because the word agape contains in it a sense of loving unconditionally, self-sacrificially. But Peter was not able to say that he was able to love the Lord in that manner. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ had to ask Peter the second time, do you love me? And again, the Lord Jesus Christ the second time, he also asked Peter, would you love me unconditionally? But Peter again answered the same way. He said that he could only love with phileo, not an unconditional love. And then the Lord Jesus Christ now asked Peter the third time, lovest thou me? Now this time in verse 17, the third time, the Lord Jesus Christ did not ask whether Peter loved him with an unconditional love anymore. He asked Peter whether Peter would love him with the same kind of love which Peter earlier professed, phileo. And this is the interesting use of the different types of love. So initially the Lord asked, will you love me unconditionally? Peter could not answer. He says, I can only love you with phileo. The Lord asked again, would you love me unconditionally? Peter could not say that. And then the Lord then now condescended to Peter's level and says, would you love me? And then Peter says, yea, Lord, I love thee. Now what this tells us is that Peter was humble. That's one thing that we learn and we see and we realize about Peter. You know, on other occasions, when the Lord asked the disciples, whom do people say that I am? And who do you say that I am? Peter was able to profess, I know that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that was one thing that Peter was not lacking in. He was very quick and ready to profess his faith. I know that thou art the Christ. And earlier, Peter also was able to declare, right, even though everyone will forsake you, I will not leave thee. That's one thing that we realize about Peter. He's very ready, very quick to declare and to profess. How is it then on this occasion? Why is it that Peter hesitated? But why is it that he no longer is the same Peter? Lovest thou me more than this? The old Peter would have just professed how he is willing to love unconditionally, love self-sacrificially. He will love and he will go to the extent of the world in order to serve the Lord and demonstrate his love for the Lord. But yet, that is no longer the same Peter. What we see in this Peter is a Peter that is very measured, a Peter that is very humble. Because he knew his own weakness. He knew his own failings. And that's where we need to learn from Peter. As the Lord restores us, sometimes we do not dare to make claims, grand claims. Maybe in the past we used to do so. But having seen our own weaknesses, having realized that we are just but men, we no longer have that kind of pride. And that's a good thing. Because the Lord has to humble us so that he can use us. But would you still profess your love unto the Lord? Now when the Lord asked Peter, lovest thou me more than this, in verse 15, now what are the this that he was referring to? He was referring to the nets. He was referring to the boats. Referring to the fishes. Peter, would you love me more than this? And this is how the Lord restores us. You see how the Lord dealt with Peter so gently? When Peter was not able to answer that I love thee unconditionally, the Lord lowered himself to Peter's level and says, it's okay, what I require of you is to love me, but love me more than this. You're unable to say you love me unconditionally yet, Now, I will build you up that you are able to love me unconditionally. But would you love me more than this? Would you love me more than your boats, your nets, your fishes? And that's how the Lord restores us. But this is also the question we must be able to answer. Would you love the Lord more than these things? What are these things for you? Maybe different from these things for Peter. What are these things for you? Maybe your business, your studies, maybe your future, maybe your children. But are you able to say that you will love the Lord more than these things? What are these things for you? And you must be able to say, yea, Lord, I love thee. Now, when the Lord asks Peter, lovest thou me? The Lord also says, if thou lovest me, then feed my sheep and feed my lamb. Here again, the Lord used different words. Right? The first word, feed my lambs, in verse 15, the last part, the word lambs here would describe the little lamb. Okay? The baby sheep, okay, if you like to use that term, but these little lambs. Whereas the word sheep in verse 16 and 17 would describe the mature sheep. Right? These are sheep that are grown up. And then the word feed is also different. Right? The first word in verse 15 means to graze. Right? Lead to graze. Feed my sheep. Bring them to graze. But verse 16, the word feed my sheep, the word means to shepherd. It doesn't just mean to graze, but it means to shepherd them, to take care of them. In the third time, the word feed, it is to graze again. And this also shows us what the Lord requires of Peter. You know, because Peter is going to be the one whom the Lord would use to build his church together with the other disciples and the other apostles. And the Lord wanted him to realize that his ministry will involve taking care of God's flock. And that's why I believe God, the Lord Jesus Christ, deliberately used this term. And also, the Lord Jesus Christ repeated it three times in order to restore Peter, because Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. But this was the Lord's call for Peter. But it all begins with, lovest thou me more than this. For Peter, he has this specific call to take care of God's flock. To not only feed them in terms of bringing them to grace, but to feed them also to shepherd them. There was the Lord's call for him. To feed them, the young, and then bring them to maturity. But there was the Lord's call for Peter. Now for each of us, we may have a different call. But regardless of what that call may be, you must be able to say that you will love the Lord more than this. Whatever the this may be for you. Are you able to love the Lord above anything else? I think that the greatest hindrance to service is really not with the lack of provision, not with the lack of resources, no, not with the lack of spiritual gifts, but it's the lack of willingness. I remember once talking to a student, and you know, nowadays we are so skillful with our expressions and skillful with phrasing things. And we are able to, in that sense, give excuses to not serve. I remember once talking to a student, and this person was approached for various areas of service and ministry. But then because he just entered university, so he said that he would like to take a break for a moment from various areas of service, and he would like to focus on his studies. And then it was, I felt sad, okay, because he also said that studying is also an area of service. You know, he says the whole Christian life is service, and studying is also an area of service. I mean, in some sense, that is true. You should always approach your studies as also a service. But we must remember that there's a special place of service in the work of the Lord. Yes, I mean, studying is a service because you are to do your best in where the Lord calls you, and the Lord called you to be a student, you do your best over there. But it should not be to the extent where now you give up areas of service that involves the church of God, that involves the body of Christ, that involves the work of the Lord directly. And then you say that studying is also your area of service. I mean, the question is really, would you love the Lord more than this? I mean, could Peter have also said that fishing is also my service? The Lord asked Peter very plainly, lovest thou me more than this? And it's sad because, you know, sometimes we pray, we ask the Lord to bless us. You know, before this student got into university, I remember the whole process, the whole phase when he was working up to that, and then taking his exams and taking his tests, and then he was very nervous, and then he prays, asked the Lord to provide. And then during the point of application also, he prayed, he went for, he had to submit various applications, and then, you know, the Lord provided, and he says, thank God, how I'm able to now come for this. And it's very sad because previously you will see how some of these students would be very active, you know, in prayer meeting, active in fellowship meeting, active in Bible study. But once the Lord answered their prayer, now able to enter university, or some maybe after university getting a job, how the Lord has answered and then they are able to get a job, then they are so overwhelmed by this new phase of life that they are no longer as committed, as fervent as before. But it really goes back to lovest thou me more than this. Are you able to say that you will love the Lord more than this? If you will profess so, and if the Lord restores you so, you must be able to say, yea, Lord, I love thee. And you would feed God's lamb as the Lord calls you. Now, what the Lord requires of Peter now is to demonstrate his love. One thing that is very encouraging about Peter is that even though Peter was not able to say that he loved the Lord with an unconditional love, when we look at the life of Peter in the book of Acts, we see Peter demonstrating unconditional love. He was no longer that Peter who was afraid, you know, the Peter of the past who was only able to profess with his mouth, but who was fearful and was afraid. Because Peter is the Peter who would be willing to be cast into prison and who will even be willing later on to die for the Lord. And that's the demonstration of love. Now from verse 18 to verse 23, after Peter answered this, the Lord Jesus Christ then told Peter, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Now this was what the Lord now told Peter. Peter answered, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. So three times, Peter was able to say, yes, Lord, I love thee. And the Lord now told Peter, good. Even though, yes, you are not able to say agape yet, yes, but now you must demonstrate this love. And what is required of thee is, if you love me, be ready to die for me. Because here, the Lord spoke concerning Peter's death. Now, the whole prophecy in verse 18 is really how Peter would also be crucified. According to church history, this was how Peter died. Right? He would be crucified. But Peter, wanting to glorify God and seeing himself unworthy to die in the same way in which his master was crucified, he requested to be crucified upside down. And so this is what church history actually tells us, that Peter was crucified upside down. But you see a different Peter. A Peter who was willing and ready to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a demonstration of love. The Lord restores you in love. And you profess your love unto the Lord, as the Lord has also shown you how he deals with you tenderly. But would you also now demonstrate and show your love unto the Lord? And what the Lord requires was, Peter, follow me. What does it mean to follow me? Follow me in that you are ready even to die for me. You are ready to live for me, but you are ready to die for me. Now, you only will be able to be ready to die for the Lord if you have been living for the Lord. You know, I think sometimes we say that if, when we look at church history, we look at all these martyrs of the faith, they say, if we were in their same position, I would also do the same. I would also not deny my faith. I would also profess my faith. I would be willing to be burned at the stake. I would be willing to die for my Lord. I would be willing to be like Peter, to be thrown into prison. But until that really happens, are you really that sure that you are able to do this? You know, we are not able to test, right? We are not able to test whether you'll be willing to die at the stake, to be burned for the Lord. Because that test is a final test, right? If that time comes, you know, if you are really in that opportunity, I mean, on that occasion, when you are going to be asked, will you recant? Will you profess Christ, you know, and die? Or would you recant and leave? When that time comes, there's no other second chance to that. You know, you say, I profess Christ, I'm willing to die, and then you'll die. There's no other test. But what can be a test is your life. You say that you would be willing to die for the Lord. We cannot test that claim, right? Because the moment we test that claim, is the end, is that's it. But for those who profess that you are willing to die for the Lord, we can actually test that claim through your life. If you have not been living for the Lord, what makes you think that you are ready to die for the Lord? You can only say that truly, genuinely, you will die for the Lord if you have been living for the Lord. And that's what we see in Peter's life. Now, because in the Gospels, I mean later in the book of Acts, when we look at the ministry of Peter, when we look at the fervency of Peter, he showed that he was one who was willing to die for the Lord. But that's a demonstration of love. You follow the Lord. And when we follow the Lord, we also must be concerned with our following of the Lord. You notice how the Lord asked Peter again and commanded Peter again in verse 22. Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. You notice that here, this statement is different from the statement in verse 19. In verse 19, the Lord told Peter, follow me. In verse 22, the Lord told Peter, follow thou me. It's more specific because in verse 22, it's with thou. Follow thou me. Right? Verse 19, follow me. So the emphasis in verse 19 is follow. But the emphasis in verse 22 is you must follow. Now, why did the Lord Jesus Christ say that? Because Peter was concerned about John in verse 20. Now, Peter asked the Lord Jesus Christ, how about John? Right, Peter turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Here, now, this disciple that Peter saw refers to John, right, the apostle John. And then the Lord says, if I will that he tarry till I come, in verse 22, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And so the Lord says, if it is my will that John will remain until I return, what is that to you? Now the Lord is not saying that John will remain until the Lord Jesus Christ returns in his second coming, but he's saying that if thou will, if I will, right, if the Lord wills, what is that to Peter? In other words, the Lord is telling Peter, why are you so concerned about John? The Lord is asking Peter now to follow. Why is Peter so concerned about John? Now, that's one thing that we realize with regard to service. Sometimes we are very much more concerned about the service of others than our own service. We're concerned in the sense that we compare, or we may even criticize. Why is that person not serving? Why is that person serving in this manner? You know, there's that kind of comparison and there's kind of criticism. Sometimes we also compare. Why is it that his ministry and his service unfolds in that way? Why is it that my service is in this manner? Why is it that his ministry seems so effective? Why is it that my ministry does not seem so effective? We tend to compare. We tend to also criticize others. Why is it that he's not doing this in this way? Why is he doing that in that way? No, and then we compare his service. If it were me, I would do things differently. Now that's the funny thing about many of us. Right? When we are not the one serving or not the one doing the work, right? We overestimate oftentimes our ability to do certain things. You say that if it were me, I would have done this in this way. If it were me, you know, this would be a problem. This would not be a problem, right? This would be a problem I can overcome easily. Now we tend to do this with many things, able to criticize. And it's always easier to comment and to criticize and to look at others' service. But now the Lord told Peter, follow thou me. For a moment, don't look at others' service anymore, but look at your service. I mean, yes, you have a responsibility for others and you are your brother's keeper. In that way, yes, you help one another, but don't be so concerned now in comparing and criticizing. But you, what is your service? What is the Lord's calling for you? Have you answered that call? It's easy to say, you know, oh, how this person was once here, how this person was once so fervent, but he's no longer here. It's so sad. But how about you? How about your service? What are you doing for the Lord? When we look at God's church today, what we can say is that there are definitely great needs. Needs for the church, needs of laborers. And don't compare your calling with another, because God has a call for you. But would you answer God's call for you? Well, when you look at the needs of the church, are you burdened? Does the Lord not stir within your heart a desire to serve? What is God's call for you? Would you demonstrate that love? The Lord asks us this same question, lovest thou me more than this? We are comforted because we thank God that we know that this question is asked out of love. And when the Lord asks us this question, he first assures us that he will provide all our needs. When you want to serve the Lord, the Lord will take care of all your needs. You don't have to worry. When you want to serve the Lord also knows how much you can bear. The Lord will restore you. The Lord deals with you gently. But you must be able to say that you will love the Lord more than this. And in loving the Lord, in serving the Lord, would you follow him? Follow him means that you will follow him even being ready to die for him. And you are able to be only ready to die for him if you have been living for him. And when you follow the Lord, don't compare with others. Don't look to others and say, why is he not serving? But how about you? What is the Lord's call for you? This morning, this is a question that each of us must answer. Lovest thou me more than this? For each one of you, that this may be different, but the Lord that you serve is the same. The one who calls you is the same Lord. Would you love the Lord more than this? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank thee that this morning thou hast given us this privilege and this opportunity to worship thee together, even through the use of technology. We want to thank thee that thou art our loving God who deals with us in a patient and a loving manner. O Lord, we thank thee for how our Savior is full of compassion and full of tenderness. We thank thee that thou hast given us this calling and this privilege as Christians to serve thee. And even though our area of service may be different, but we know that we are serving the same Lord, and we know that we have gifts and provisions that thou hast given to us to serve thee. So Lord, we pray that thou wilt take away any excuse from service.
and that thou wilt move our hearts to serve thee readily, willingly, serving thee even out of love. For love must be that which constrains and compels us in service. We want to thank thee once again that this morning we can worship thee and meditate upon thy word. May thou keep thy truth and thy word in our hearts. We commit all these things into thy loving hands, praying in Jesus' name. Amen.